लाइट कैमरा
रोलिंग
एक्शन।
वेलकम टू माय पॉडकास्ट लेट्स टॉक अबाउट वर्टिकल्स, अ प्लेस वेयर सीक्रेट्स आर स्पिल्ड, स्टोरीज अनफोल्ड एंड द मिस्टीरियस वर्ल्ड ऑफ वर्टिकल्स इज रिवील्ड इन ऑल इट्स ग्लोरी। Behind the scenes? Oh yes. Exclusive insights? Absolutely. Eccentric characters? You bet. So, pull up a chair, pour yourself something suspiciously strong, and prepare for a conversation you didn't know you needed. So, welcome to the podcast Let's Talk About Verticals. And now, let's talk. Hello and welcome to my podcast, Let's Talk About Verticals. Today with another actor, and it was a bit rough to get him in this podcast, but we did it. So I'm very happy about that he joins me for this episode, and I say hello to Gabe Armentano. Hello!
Hi, Michaela. Hello, hello.
Welcome.
You are completely correct. It was a big pain in the butt trying to coordinate these schedules.
Yeah, I think you're busy, huh?
Well, you know, I have a lot to be grateful for because I started doing these about a year and a half ago. Well, I've been acting for a long time, but I started doing verticals about a year and a half ago. And sometime around the spring, I've transitioned, or at least I'm still trying to only work in a capacity as a lead. And so when you have platforms that are interested in working with you, or you have maybe production companies that will work with you, sometimes you're fortunate enough to do projects back to back. In our case, we've been trying to get together since I was out of the country, and that's a whole other bananas thing, because now it's not just production schedules, but it's also just like on top of the fact that right now in LA to Germany was a 9-hour difference. When I was in China,
it was 5 hours. It would be better.
You think it'd be better? Yeah,
but yeah, then what China is from here 5 hours ahead, and now you're 9 hours backward.
Okay. Guilty as charged. I'm thinking backwards though, because I'm like morning. Okay, fine.
It would have been the easiest way if you would have done a stop on your flight back home from China here in Germany.
Hmm? Interesting.
Or you should have get a production in Turkey, Italy, Lithuania, or England, somewhere in Europe.
I'm definitely going to try to get a European project on the books, if not before the end of the year, in the next 6 months.
Then it would be totally easy.
Yes.
To absolutely. Be nearly in the same time. So, time. But if you are in Turkey, then it would be only 1 hour. And from here to Turkey, it's only a 2-hour flight.
Oh, that's so easy.
Yeah, you know, Europe is not so big. In 1 hour from here, I'm in Switzerland. In 1 hour, I'm in Austria. In 1.5 hour, I'm in Luxembourg. In 2 hours, I'm in France.
Driving? Oh, yes. My goodness.
Not flying, driving with the car. In 45 minutes from here, you are on the border to Switzerland. Yep. And in round about 1 hour, you are in Austria by car. That's a nice crazy. Thing about Europe.
I have a little bit of Austrian in my blood. My mom is...
My mom is Austrian.
Austrian, Czechoslovakian, and Hungarian. That's my mom's side. My dad's is Italian, so...
And then you live in the U.S. What happened?
Oh, my goodness. Something happened in the 1890s. Both sides of the family decided to hop on a boat and get off on Ellis Island. You can find their names in the little book by the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, okay. Armentano sounds really Italian. Have you ever been in Italy?
I have not. I'm in the talks to possibly visit my home village, Moto San Lucia in Calabria, southern Italy. But I've never been.
Have you ever been in Europe?
I have visited Europe for one trip with my sweet mother. We did a little post-graduation for college trip, and we went to basically London for 10 days. with a teeny, teeny, weeny little day trip to Paris and a day trip to Edinburgh.
Oh,
And as you
Edinburgh,
know,
Scotland.
as you
Oh, great.
Oh, it was cool. It was really cool.
Edinburgh is such a nice city. Can you imagine? I spoke with Dan Lowenstein, the director from the UK, and I told him a vertical shooting in Scotland would be so great because the
Oh, it'd be
landscapes are
magical.
so nice there. Or in Ireland.
Oh,
Yeah.
yeah. Goodness.
Huh? So we are on it.
Cool.
He told me that they
You
are
got it.
founding a new platform in the UK.
They are. Oh,
Yes.
really?
Yes. So they want to
This is what
produce
we
a bit
need.
more European based stuff. And I
Cool.
spoke also with Roberta Sparta, the director
Okay.
of
Yeah,
Sparta
she's great.
Productions. And
Yeah.
she's from Italy also. And she's
Great.
shooting in Italy. And
Yeah.
Dan Lowenstein also shot a vertical in Italy. So Italy
Okay.
is really coming for vertical
We're going
shooting.
back to the spaghetti western roots, trying to get some
Hey,
more
come on.
cinema
If you're
bacon.
shooting in Italy, the first thing, the food is always great.
Of course. Yeah.
You cannot get better food than in Italy. I lived in Italy, in Milano, for a
Okay.
job for 6 months. Oh, and I miss the food.
Yeah.
Okay, by car from here, 5 hours, and you are in Milano, so it's fine.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
Yeah, I live in South Germany. Here it's really great. You can go by car in so many different countries. You can
Yeah.
go to the Alps, you can go by plane 1 hour and 20 minutes, and you are in the north in Hamburg. So it's totally
And
easy.
that's how the EU works. Like you could just hop from any country to there's no
Exactly.
concern with it. Cool. That's very cool.
When I'm flying from here 5 hours, I'm already in Dubai.
Yeah, that's the thing is like for us, we just have the Pacific Ocean. It just adds like 10 plus hours anywhere we
Yeah,
want
you
to go
can
from.
fly all over the US and you are a longer distance than I would have here in
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, my family lives on the East Coast, and so I have to fly usually minimum 5 hours just to see relatives.
Oh shit.
Yeah, it's
Nah.
crazy.
Yeah.
Beautiful thing.
So, when did you move? Did you move for acting?
I moved for, yeah, acting is really the best reason to say I moved out to LA. So I grew up in Connecticut, little state in New England. I lived in New York for about 8 years. I studied acting for a couple of years there. I did a teeny weeny weeny bit of downtown theater and a couple indie films. And I was a caretaker. I lived with this awesome woman in her 90s. She's like the biggest blessing in my life. And Catherine, sweet Catherine.
Oh,
As I lived with her,
I think I saw a picture. Did you post a
yeah,
picture
on my
on?
Instagram, there's a couple photos. There's like
Yeah,
me, tall, skinny white
I
boy, and
saw
then
one of
little
this with the
Catherine.
lovely
She's
old lady.
yes, she's
Yeah,
awesome.
I
Yeah,
saw that.
she's so great. So she passed in 2020, and so that kind of created this like, okay, the pandemic's going on. Do I stay in the city and pay full rent for basically living in lockdown, no job, no social life? Or do I give myself permission to kind of step away, reset, save? So I was in New York from 2012 to 2020, went back to my dad's in Connecticut for about a year and a half. And when things started to open back up, I decided to take the leap and try LA as an acting market because I just had this hunch that there was going to be something. There's going to be something in LA that New York would not be able to provide.
Okay.
And LA is a film town more so than New York for sure. New York's got the musical theater, it's got the theater. They do have studios, Steiner
Broadway.
Studios. Sure, but they don't have film. And I really love film.
But they're
My
doing a
when
lot
you
of verticals right now, don't they? In
They
New
are,
York.
but you have to from okay. So if we want to do brass tacks, I would say for every one vertical, and again, this is like numbers out of my butt, like I really don't know,
Yeah.
but I would say from what I hear from the breakdowns I see, I'd say for every like one vertical they're doing in New York, they're probably doing at least five in LA.
Oh, okay.
So if they're
Okay.
making two in New York, then they're making 10 in LA. And like that ratio is probably off, but there's just so much work in Los Angeles right now, especially for those of us who are able to like capture the attention for leads and supporting leads and villains and assistants. There's some pretty good consistent work. I mean, even for the day players in the background, there's always a set you can just stumble onto and get someone to pay you a day rate or a half day rate. And you're right, like New York, there's a lot of the verts happening, but just not as much as LA. The other cities haven't quite caught up yet. I don't know if it's an affordability or just a resource thing. But they happen in Atlanta. They happen in New York. We've even seen one-offs in Nashville or Texas. But LA still, in my opinion, is currently the New York, is currently the American, if not the North American hub. Because they're made in Vancouver and Toronto occasionally as well.
So you were lately in China for doing verticals. Where have you also
Yes.
been for doing verticals?
Only China. Outside
China
of
and LA?
basically, yeah, the big cities I've done are LA and New York in the States. I did Vancouver. Hopefully, we'll be back this year, if not early next year, and then China. So, three countries, four cities. And,
Also,
I
Europe
love.
is really a wide left point on it.
I know. It's untapped resources I got to find my way
On
into.
your,
So.
on, you have to put it on your bucket list.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, I have so funny, I was gonna say classmates, co-stars, friends, I peers who have, as you mentioned, worked in Turkey. I think I've had peers who've worked in London. I don't know anybody yet who's worked in Italy. I know a couple people who've done the Lithuania or the Romania thing. And then even Southeast Asia is expanding. It's not just China now. Once in a while they're made in Korea.
In Vietnam.
Vietnam. I've even heard about them in Malaysia, but
In
I just don't
Malaysia
know.
or Australia or
Australia,
Ukraine.
definitely.
Kiki Frex was
Exactly.
lately in the Ukraine.
Yes, exactly. Kiki's great. Love Kiki.
So, how did you get to your first vertical job? And
First vertical
question,
job.
did
Go.
you know
Yeah.
what verticals were at this point?
So I didn't know what they were. I don't know if I was calling them verticals at the time. I think it was more so. Okay, so I've been in LA for, we'll say, 3.5 years, right? Somewhere around the fall of 23 is kind of where I hear people say verticals started taking off. My first vertical was in June 24. So there's about a 9 month difference there. And
What
so
was
in
the
those nine,
title? Do you know the
oh, the
title of
first
your
one I
first?
did.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. It was with Nicole Maddox. It was, I mean, I could probably pull it up on IMDb. It was something alpha. It was an alpha one.
And Werewolf One, you started with an Werewolf One
Started with the werewolf one. Yeah, I
as
know.
a beta or
Definitely.
what?
As a antagonist, so I
Okay.
was an opposing alpha. What was that? Okay, anyway, so yeah, there's a 9 month stretch between when they were starting to pick up in LA and when I hopped in, and you see the breakdowns online and you don't know what it is, you just know it looks really stupid. And from somebody who like went to acting school, and you're just like hoping to like get on a random TV show with like five lines. It's like, I've got craft. I want to step on a good set. I want to be. And then you see these like, so and so CEO with $1 billion falls in love with, and the family, this and that, and like somebody gets slapped and pregnant and stepchildren.
And
And it
the
was just like,
werewolf, the first thing was a
right.
werewolf one, so what?
Yeah, exactly. So it was they were things to be avoided. A lot of people were just like, I don't want to touch that with I was gonna say with a 10 foot pole, but I guess that's a 3 meter pole for you guys. But whatever it is, it's just like stay away. Please stay away. I don't want to get involved. And so my journey in 2024 from working a day job to working consistently in the vertical field space is honestly, I'm very grateful. It was kind of completely by accident. If not, I was fighting through it the whole time. I was working at a restaurant in LA. We oftentimes refer to like the East Side, the West Side, the Valley. So I was working at a restaurant on the West Side, doing my same old restaurant thing, 4 days a week, pay the bills, try to be available for auditions. And it was just becoming obvious to me that I was operating with like an out of date mindset. You go to school and the professors always tell you got to make yourself available for auditions during the day, do whatever you got to do at night, just pay the bills. But nobody drives around for auditions anymore. They're always at home. So you don't
But is that
need
because of the
time.
pandemic
The
that
pandemic
they're
accelerated it. It
okay?
accelerated it. But we did start having online auditions prior to 2020, but pandemic just sealed the deal
Do you like
because
online auditions more than
I don't know if more is the
live
right word.
auditions?
What I will say is that there is something lost by not having live auditions because you bring your presence and your personality into a space. But for me, I really enjoy the you could call it like the craft of the self-tape, where you can self-direct and you can watch, review, revise. And I enjoy just kind of mechanically working through my audition till I get like a nice, massaged, authentic performance. I enjoy the rehearsal and the construction of that. But some people, they're uncomfortable, they're intimidated, they feel it's false. But I don't know, I really enjoy it. So I embrace the home self-tape. And so I started to open up to the idea that like, do I really need to be working in a restaurant if like auditions, I don't need to be driving around for them anymore? And I had a random day off, random day off. I usually work Wednesdays. On that particular Wednesday, I wasn't. And I booked a small modeling gig, a hand modeling gig. And I've done hand modeling in New York. You can look at my nails, they're not looking so hot because
Hand modeling job,
you'll
really?
hold up like, it's so honestly, it pays great. Like little hand modeling
For
non-union gigs, like
watches then, or what?
I was doing cosmetics when I was in New York. I was working for a couple skincare products,
Oh,
and
okay.
it's fun because you step in the studio, you know how to hold it, you make sure the light's not reflecting too much on the label. It's very like technical. I think it's, I don't know, I think it's a cool experience. And so I got cast in this hand modeling gig for phone cases, and I roll up on set, and two things happened in my mind. One was there are so many young people on this set. It wasn't like, it wasn't a room of like seasoned professionals who it's just like it's a studio and everyone's been doing this forever. It's like mostly because I'm 31. It's mostly people like 5 to 10 years younger than me. And I'm just like, wait. Everybody here is just freelancing to pay the bills and they're not caught up in the trap of like getting some random restaurant retail job or something. And suddenly my mind's like, okay, this can be done. I can work freelance and let go of like squeezing this old idea that I have to just serve tables. So that was something I was highly aware of. And then the other thing that happened was that I met a vertical casting director on set who's a fellow actor. A lot of people they'll bounce between different roles in order to pay the bills or meet people. And so she just happened to be modeling that day. And we all find out very quickly that it's not just a modeling gig. It's like this weird lifestyle. Let's hang out on a picnic and pretend we're like in the backyard with like cell phone cases. So it's not just our hands. It's just like all of us being chummy with like cute phone cases. And she's like, you should audition for this vertical. And she shows me the breakdown. I'm like, oh, I'm not doing that at all. Not, don't even, no. I've seen that. I decided no.
You didn't
I
take
have
it
my reasons.
serious or what? I
No,
heard
not
from
at all.
so many actors that they first didn't take it serious, that it will be a long-term thing, the verticals.
It well, the thing is, it's just you see them, and again, in your brain, the closest this is like a soap opera. And for better or for worse, a lot of people just have a very negative mindset of soap operas. They have this idea that it's not real acting. They have this idea that once you work in that space, it's hard to get out of that space. And so a lot of people really do avoid these dramatic, soapy genres, mediums of acting. And so yeah, so she presents me with this breakdown, and she's like, come on, just audition for it. It'll pay. And I'm like, okay, I will audition. I will audition. And I auditioned for the job. Within like 24 to 48 hours, she says that client's interested, and they eventually put me in the antagonist role. And I just, as soon as I stepped on set for that project, it was like
What the
a
heck I
light
am
went.
doing here?
No, honestly,
No?
it was like a light switch just went off in my head. I was like, oh, I get it. Like, this is how I can consistently step on set and practice acting and get used to cameras being around me. And all of the concerns about like low quality scripts, all of the concerns about like unsafe working conditions, all the concerns about like my online persona, reputation, it just went out the window because it just became clear that there's a path to working on my craft while paying the bills. And I don't know, I totally embraced it. I totally embraced it. I've been having a lot of fun for the last year and
So
a
it
half.
was love of the
And
first sight, you want to say, or what?
love at first sight is pretty damn close. Yeah, it was, you got to remember 10 years of serving tables and like just being able to get the occasional like gig here and there. I did some fun commercials with some big companies. I did, like I said, the occasional play or a little movie or something. But this is
Then a
different.
werewolf came along and got you.
And yeah,
And you were
exactly.
cursed since then. How many werewolf ones did you?
I think I am on four, although one of them has not been released yet. So we'll see if it ends up getting released. But
And how many verticals in total?
I believe, I could be wrong, I believe I just wrapped my 26th and I'll be stepping on my 27th in 2 days. So yeah.
In 1.5 year?
Just about, yeah, it's about a click of about 2 a month per average, I guess. Right?
Have you
Maybe a
done
little bit.
anything else in this 1.5 year?
I produced my own short film. I did that with a couple of best friends of mine, so I'll happily share the link with you. But it's basically my friends and I, we co-wrote and produced a neo-noir thriller about basically this anger management counselor. And the film starts on him. And you see he's conducting like a group. It feels like an AA meeting, but it's for people who are trying to get control of their anger. And what basically happens in the following 15 to 20 minutes, it's like a short film pilot length, is the counselor meets a new attendee who is really impressed by his techniques. And it's like, hey, I really would appreciate if you met my friend in prison, because he struggles with his anger and he would benefit from what you teach. And so the counselor says yes, goes to prison, and finds out the person in prison is not a stranger, but it's somebody from his past. And so that's kind of, there's just like a twist that takes place. It's very dark. It's got this like Fight Club, Zodiac, Nightcrawler vibe. We really wanted to do like a SoCal mystery kind of crime drama. So it's ideally going to be a project that we can push to the festival circuit, get some eyes on it, and then we'll expand to a feature. So that I've done in the last year, that was really fun. I've done a couple other shorts with some friends. I'm going to be shooting a feature film, a supporting role in the next month, but it has been mostly verticals. Yeah,
Mostly one.
it's yeah.
Do you miss something of your old New York life?
Well, I miss Catherine. Catherine was awesome. And yeah, I love her. I've got, I'll show you a picture. I got this. This is the closest picture. I mean, there's other pictures of my apartment of her. But Catherine, and this is mom. But yeah, so
That's your
Catherine,
mom or what?
that's my mom. Yeah, that's my mom. Right there. So, yeah, I miss Catherine. And Catherine was just, you gotta, for context for those at home, who may or may not know much about me, I grew up without grandparents, more or less. I had my grandfathers in my life, very grateful, but my grandmothers, they both passed before I was born.
Yeah, my
And
grandfathers
so,
passed both before I was born, and I only had one grandmother of mine died when I was 3, and the other grandmother of mine died when I was 25. So I really had only one grandmom.
Yeah, grandparents are a tricky thing. And so in my college years, being able to like reconnect with a matriarchal figure like this woman in my life who just basically filled that role that I never had, that was very special.
Yeah,
So
and
I
they are
miss
so
that relationship.
wise.
Oh
You
my
can learn
goodness. Yes.
so many things from them.
So I miss her, that part of my chapter in New York. As mentioned, I miss the bike riding because out in LA, you just drive everywhere. And I prefer
You
to ride the
cannot
bike
bike ride
everywhere.
in LA?
So not really. No,
No?
I live on the west side. So there are some parts that have bike lanes. There are some parts that it makes sense to ride a bike in. But honestly, if I'm correct, I haven't been to Europe much, but a lot of the states is just not accustomed to riding around cyclists the same way that you all are. I feel like there's more cyclists on the road in Europe.
Here, they are everywhere, cyclists.
Right,
On a
exactly.
Sunday with a bit of sunshine, you cannot go for a walk with the dogs on normal ways because everywhere there are cyclists. After you shot your first vertical, what got in your mind? Was it kind of weirdo? Was your first thought, okay, I love this, I want to do it? Was it kind of drug? Or was it a kind of, okay, I don't know yet what I should think about that one because it was a werewolf one. You heard Nalfa and stuff like that. Was it kind of
You know what's funny?
weirdo?
A lot of people get really uncomfortable with the werewolf verticals. I think their instinct is, and this is me maybe like over intellectualizing it, but I think in general, verticals are, as we all know, melodramatic, right? And the way that they're written, the way the dialogue is translated or, textually prompted or however we want to say they're created, the dialogue never feels quite natural, right? Which is fine because it's kind of our job as actors in this space to collaborate with the writer directors and have it a little bit become more natural. With the fantasy verticals, they come out even a little bit more unnatural, a little bit more elevated because you're not talking as like, a CEO or somebody grounded in the real world. The fantasy, it almost has like a period element to it. It almost has like a royal amplified element to it. And so I think the fantasy ones, the werewolves, people get even more uncomfortable to use, what you're saying before. Like some people have a knee jerk, like this is really weird, and I don't like calling people alphas, and what the heck is these like status and titles? And for me though, yeah, like sure, if we want to be reductive, yeah, it felt kind of weird. But as an actor, like trying to take and justify everything that's going on, my first instinct is just to go back to like the over intellectualization, my instinct is it's just Shakespeare. Like all it is these huge archetypes and a fantasy setting that's either ending with a comedic ending, the story's either ending with a comedy, a wedding, or it's ending with like a tragedy and like people end up getting cooked, which usually it's the wedding, and the bad guy.
Mostly.
Yeah. And the bad guy gets what he deserves. So for me, on the one hand, it's very easy to be like, oh my goodness, like, how am I going to say this with a straight face? You know, all these. One of my favorite lines from that first vertical, I'm like up in Nicole Maddox's face. I'm threatening her. I'm telling her that, like, I'm going to get her, blah, blah, blah. I've got my arm up. I've got her pinned against the bookcase. And just as I'm about to, like, smooch her or, like, do whatever, my beta walks in. And he's like, sir, and I have to like back off, Nicole. And my beta is like, sir, I'm so sorry to interrupt. Your uncle, he's invited you to his birthday. And my character literally stops, thinks to himself, and goes, huh, he's never invited me to his birthday before. And I'm just like, what kind of world am I in right now that these characters are like threatening and fighting with each
And
other?
then worrying
And
about a
yet,
birthday
I'm
invitation.
so concerned. I don't know. I just thought it was like a silly banana thing. It's just, but that's how these are. Like, but again, to go back to the Shakespeare, like Shakespearean characters all the time, they have their soliloquies, they have their internal monologues, they're addressing the audience.
Yeah, a
And
lot here in
so,
Germany we have Goethe and Schiller, you know, the
okay,
Faust
what,
stuff and like,
okay.
you know, Goethe's Faust, the story.
Tell me, tell me, tell me.
Oh, Faust is a lecture you have to read in every school. It's the big
Is
Goethe
this the
one.
Faust where we get the Faustian bargain from? Is that the same thing or are those separate? Okay.
It's Mephisto stuff and oh.
Okay, yes.
There are only monologues, weirdo monologues. And here in
Yeah.
Germany, you have to read it in school and do your
Okay.
examinations in German about this lecture. And it's really weirdo. And there is a lot of school theaters and stuff like that who are playing this stuff. And I was in a school theater group where we played Goethe's Faust. And there was a big, big monologue about I don't know how many pages. And it was so weirdo speaking where I was thought,
Yeah.
this person is physically totally ill. What drugs did he take, please, to do
Yeah.
that?
Oh my goodness.
But I spoke with Kaylin Peluso, and her first one was also Werewolf One. She has to play a dead person in it, and she told me she was lying on the ground with closed eyes, and all she was hearing was, "My alpha!" And she was, "What the heck they are talking about?" And after that one, she decided 8 months not to do any more verticals because she was thinking, "What the heck was that of kind of shit?"
Yeah. Yes. Oh my
So that
goodness.
was the reason why I'm asking, what was your intention after this?
Right. Okay. So yeah. So I was really commenting on just like why I didn't feel it was weird and why I could justify it. But yeah. Okay. So let's say that like it's the end of the week. I wrapped. I just finished my first one. Honestly, I was kind of just high off the fact that I made enough money to. I didn't make enough money to quit my restaurant job. Like, obviously, you do one gig, you're not set. You know what I'm saying? But the
No, and
idea
you're
that if
not
I
a
didn't,
billionaire in real life? No, no.
not quite, not quite.
Okay. Okay.
But if I did one per month, and I maybe had a part-time job, like for a second there, I was doing one per month, and then I was trying to do like a door-to-door sales gig as well. And then eventually, the one per month turned to two per month, and then I let the sales gig go. And so, yeah, it was just light bulbs. It was very much like very excited to meet people on set. That was huge,
How
because you
was
feel
the
kind of
pace?
isolated. The oh, you mean
Filming.
like the pages per day and how much we're
Yes,
doing?
yes. How was the
I
speed
kind of
on
loved
set?
it. I loved it. I some
Okay.
people get really intimidated by it. I think what it is I was one of those kids in school who was like excited to read the textbook when my turn was called, because I feel very comfortable like reading
Okay.
with I guess you as an actor we call it cold reading. Like if somebody hands me a script and I read it for the first time, even if I don't quite know the circumstances, I can at least have something feel natural coming out of me. And I know that sounds like maybe an obvious thing that actors should be able to do, but I've had a lot of co-stars and not even in verticals, just even in school, or even like doing an audition with somebody along the way, some people just aren't good at cold reading. And it's not a bad thing because at the end of the day, like a cold read is not valuable for a performance. A cold read is not valuable to like get that Oscar award winning thing. A cold read is only really good for when? For the first time you're reading it. And typically, the first time you read it is a place that like we're exploring and there's permission to, trip over words and not understand what you're saying and ask questions about definitions and context and relationships. But for me, the vertical space, somebody could hand me the script and I know that, if I want to be honest, sometimes I'm not in love with my performance. Like I watch some of my stuff and I'm like, Gabe, that was trash. How do we make that not trash next time? But other times I'm very happy with my performance. And the thing is, we don't get much time to prep. I would say tops, absolute tops. If anyone's not saying this, then in my opinion, they're kind of lying. Tops, you're getting a month to prepare. Because once in a while, you'll get a script 4 weeks before the project. The reality is, the majority of us say that we really don't get a script 2 to 5 days before. Because whatever script I'm talking about that we got a month before, it's not the same script we get the week before. Like they've cut so many things, they've rewritten so many things. So when I if I if I'm also lucky enough to book a job 4 weeks in advance, I'm trusting that whatever role I agree to, at the very least, will have the same beginning, middle, and end, that the intimacy will not go past my boundaries, and that the stunts will not go past my boundaries. But the plot could be something completely different than what I signed on to. It's just
So
how they
it's
are.
kind of surprise every time when you get
You kind of
this
can
the
be.
real script.
Yeah, I did one project in the last couple months, and the project I agreed to, the first 20 pages weren't even in the script anymore. I was just like, "What? I love that part. What happened? Where'd it go?" But then other times they do a really good job preserving it, but unfortunately, if you want to be active in the space, you're trying to book them back to back, which means even if I got the script 4 weeks in advance, I'm working on at least two different sets. So I can't be preparing when I'm trying to be a responsible present actor for the people who've hired me in my current context. So, because they're 12-hour days, and in LA, our commute can be upwards to an hour. And so 12 hours plus a 30-minute lunch plus an hour each way sometimes. Next thing you know, like, when do you have time to exercise? When do you have time to eat at home? Do you even have time to sleep for 8 hours? So it's you have to really pick and choose your battles in terms of preparation and in terms of like quality of scripts and how much time you have to work on it. But yeah, I don't know. I really
Are
enjoy
you
it.
a
It's
good
really fun.
sleeper?
I'm a very
Or
good sleeper.
are you that type when you come home from set, for you it's hard to, no?
I can close my eyes anywhere. Anywhere. On a plane for 15
Really?
hours, I
And
can
you
sleep on
are,
the floor with the lights on above me. I can sleep while standing.
what's
I'm
wrong
a
with you, Gabe?
You're correct. I didn't know there was anything wrong with me until I got older because I had so many friends who just like they go to bed and then they lie there for hours and like
Yeah, and
just
there
they
are
can't
so
sleep.
many things going on in their minds. And when you are doing 12-hour day shooting and then reading through the lines for the next day, you can totally switch off when you're lying down and said, okay, thank you for today. See you tomorrow.
Yeah,
Really?
that's about it. Yeah, just boink, flip the switch, go to bed, wake up the next day. I'm grateful. I'm very grateful because I have peers of mine who they're anxious or they can't turn their brains off or they just don't want to go to sleep, quite frankly, And I'm like, because some people can run on less. Like I happily run on 8 hours, but I know people who run on like five and a half, six, and that's just not
I
me.
normally
I
sleep
can.
3 or 4 hours per night.
But how do you operate? Are you just chronically tired or are you actually feeling pretty okay?
My body got used to it over the years, to
Okay.
be honest.
Wow.
It's, yeah, the thing is, it's not that I'm not laying down. It's the problem that I cannot sleep, you know? So I'm jealous of all the people like you who can lay down and out. Mom, I cannot do that. Shitty. So what are no-goes for you for selecting roles?
Honestly, the no-goes really come down to intimacy for me. So, for those of you at home who do or do not know, a lot of the projects in the vertical space, they like to push the bounds of, we'll say, sexual contact. And so some of them, all of these, for the most part, these projects are romantically driven. You know, there's typically, you know, a guy and a girl, and they fall in love, and drama happens, and they either figure it out or they don't. But somewhere along the way, there is, you could say, a tension and a release cycle, a dramatic obstacle. And sometimes those obstacles include physical altercations. And so for me, the sexual contact, I'd like to know what it is. I don't get intimidated or necessarily concerned about some of the unsafe situations as long as everybody knows what's going on and it's not, how do I put it? Like if a bad guy's this, I haven't done villains in a while though, but like when I was doing villains, if a bad guy is doing bad things, I remind myself that A, somebody has to do that, and B, I would happily fulfill that role as long as like everyone's safe and we're being responsible with each other's needs. But sometimes they really push the, for me, sometimes they really just push the bounds of like, this feels kind of rapey. This feels like the dialogue is like not okay. And so that's where I start to just have a conversation with the platform. And I'm like, hey, can we consider taking this dialogue out? Hey, can we pull the scene off without, can we give you, sometimes I'll call it like the juice or like the drama. Can we give you guys the juice that you want without having to have X, Y, and Z physical acts take place? You know, because once the violence intersects with the sex, that's where it starts to, like we all know, we've all seen high budget movies with, you know, questionable sexual assault and stuff like that. But they're different because ideally, if ideally is even the word we want to use, ideally a narrative form of cinema that has a sexual altercation in it is grounded in the story and what's happening for the character's development. And the audience is on that journey and they're learning or they're being entertained or they're experiencing a moment of catharsis. But verticals, they're not written with that in mind. They're written for maintaining watch retention. And they observe the metrics and what moments of the shows are being watched. And so at the end of the day, to put it simply, a lot of the sexual stuff is not for character development. It's not for story. It's for clickbait. And so that's where I'm like, why
And
do
lately,
we?
all the BDMS stuff.
So, okay. So to answer your question simply, I insist on no BDSM. I insist on no sibling adjacent. We'll say characters because I don't know, I just and then I am not a fan of, we could call it XXL revenge genre types. It's where somebody is overweight and the guy breaks up with her, and so she goes off and she gets skinny and she comes back and he doesn't recognize her and she kicks ass and wins the day. And you know what, honestly, you know, could be like a great plot, except for the fact that they cast separate actresses for the beginning part of that character's journey and the end. And so, in some weird way, the writers have managed to, instead of doing like a female empowerment story, they have ironically managed to body shame the actor who's playing the not good version. Of, so I don't know. I have managed to avoid being on those, and I've actually rejected auditions from projects like that. I can't say never because you know maybe somebody will knock, but I have been fortunate enough that there have been other jobs that I currently choose anytime it crosses my desk to just pass. I don't want to be a part of that. I really don't.
That's good.
So yeah, sibling adjacent, XSL, XXL revenge, the BDSM stuff. I actually have a document called Gabe Armentano's Sexual Intimacy Guide, and I really don't take it out
Do
too
you give
often.
this to the intimacy coordinators?
When asked, it's the thing is the verticals are pretty consistent. They usually have a coordinator, and more or less the scripts that I've been hired for, it's usually the same thing. There's making out. There
Towel
is
drop? The
a what? Oh well, oh my goodness.
classic towel drop?
I think I've done one towel drop, maybe two. It's so
Only
silly. So
one.
but well, that's what I'm saying. I don't usually do a lot of them. There's some actors who I feel like they do them every single script. I think it's the abs. I got to get better abs if they want the
I
towel drop.
spoke with Cam in Cardiff about how often he proposed and how often he got towel dropped, and Casey Esser also.
Yeah, exactly. It's
So you're
just
a bit behind with the towel drops, Gabe.
oh yeah, for sure. No, I feel like I tend to be hired for the like the grouchy CEO or kind of like the sweetheart husband. That tends to be more of my like category that I fall into. And those stories don't necessarily like if they do the towel drop, it's more of a comedic thing, not a like hot sexy thing per se. And
Yeah, but
so
to be honest, when you say you are more that lovey-dovey husband type, I prefer this one. I love verticals where the man and the woman are equal in the marriage, where they are more like a team and not like the dominant husband who tells
Yes.
his wife always what she has to do. That's
Every scene,
not.
every scene, grabbing her by the hand and pulling her
Yes.
out, like just
Bring
all
me
the time.
that, do that. You cannot do that. Clean that up. Oh, come on. No.
Yeah. No, I'm totally with you. I get it.
I want to see more
it's a higher
verticals where
trope.
there are really powerful women, also in leadership roles in companies, because that's not so unusual today.
Yeah. No, it's not
But it's
unusual at all. My
always
girlfriend,
the
she does these
men.
in my girlfriend does these in China, and she's playing the leading lady, and she's the CEO of a company.
That's good.
And it's honestly, I'm very excited for her because she started doing them earlier this year, but she's not the stereotype leading lady for these, because as we all know, they usually fall to like a blonde or brunette who's between 5 foot 4 and 5 foot 7, we'll say, and my girlfriend is like a 5 foot 9 short-haired redhead, and so the
Yeah, I'm
director pulled her
5'10".
aside. See, okay. So the director pulled her aside and was like, I want you to do this role because a lot of people don't expect you to play this, and it's going to bring such a like a fresh take on like a badass CEO leading lady. And so yeah, I was very
Also
excited for her when they
vertical
gave me
stuff.
the role. Also vertical stuff, yeah, because she's based out of China, and they shoot like how I said in New York, there's like a 5-to-1 ratio for LA to New York.
Yeah.
China, supposedly, this is the number I hear, China to LA is like a 10-to-1 ratio. So for every like, I know it sounds insane, but for every 100 they're doing in LA, supposedly they're doing upwards to 1,000 of these things. Like they are
Wow.
constantly on set in many, many different cities. It's huge. It's crazy. I still can't quite wrap my head around how many productions are constantly being made. But yeah, if there's like 20 at a time being made in Los Angeles, we'll say 15 to 20, then there's upwards to, I guess, 100 to 200 being made in China. You have to remember, the cities are just bigger out there. I forget that. Like, and I'm sure you know this because you're more traveled than I am. But as an American, it was a big culture shock to find out that like LA, city of 4 million, county of 10 million. I go to China and their city has 18 million people. Like, that's
Yeah.
just bananas, you know?
The whole German country has 82 million people.
Yeah, that's teeny weeny in
What
my
was
brain.
different than in shooting in China to LA?
The biggest, like most obvious thing is the hours. Always the hours. Have you had a chance to talk with any of the actors who've been to China?
I spoke with two or three who worked in China, and they said they always have 18 hours a day.
Yeah, so I would say I've been fortunate enough that I wouldn't say 18 hours has been guaranteed in my experience. I've done six productions out there. I did two tours. I'm probably going to do a third
Six
one somewhere. Six projects, yeah.
in a row.
I did four in a row in the spring and two in a row in August.
Okay.
So broken up, two separate tours. And like I said, I'll probably go back in February. I'm going to go back sometime in the winter. And my average day count, I would say, is about 15 hours. A lot of people they get a little freaked out because they're like, yeah, the days are just a little bit longer there. And I'm like, okay, let's pump the brakes. Let's try to be diplomatic about this. The reality is the base day there actually isn't longer than U.S. standard, and I'm being very I am being very diplomatic here. But let's think about this from like a numbers standpoint. A U.S. production standard is 12 hours plus a 30-minute lunch. In China, my understanding is typically, at least the contracts I've seen, a standard day rate constitutes a 12-hour workday, but with two meals.
Okay.
The work culture in China is that there will be, no matter what, always minimum two meals on set, oftentimes three. Some people have a working breakfast. Sometimes, if you're doing OT, they'll just get another meal on set. So people in their mind think, oh, China, yeah, minimum you're doing is 13 hours, which is true. Technically, the 13th hour is just two meals instead of one.
Okay.
The difference is, though, is that in China, because the difference in work-life balance, it's very much a you do it till you get it, and we don't go home till we're done. And so in the US, it's standard practice no matter what, always forever. After 6 hours, everyone's breaking for lunch. We don't care what you're doing. If you started the scene, if you're about to finish the scene, if you're in the wide, if you're doing intimacy, blah, blah, blah. 6 hours, you get your ass off the set, you go eat lunch. And the caveat to that is production can call for grace. Hey guys, can we just get a grace of 15 minutes? Let's finish this intimacy so we don't have to do it after lunch. Nobody likes to do intimacy after lunch because, surprise, you're bloated from food. It kind of sucks. I hate doing it after lunch. Or like, hey guys, grace, can we get 2 minutes just to wrap this up and then we'll come back after the wide or whatever. But in China, they don't stick to a 6 hour rule. So your first meal could be within 4 hours of being on set. And then the next meal could be 8 hours later. And they know that because you're getting fed twice, because everyone's there to just get it done, next thing you know, yeah, 12 hours goes by. You've eaten twice now, 13 hours, 14 hours, 15 hours. So my average, I would say, was probably around 15 hours. My best productions did end under 13. And my worst production day ever was a 23-hour workday. I'm not kidding. I got in the van at 7 a.m. and I didn't get in the van home till 6 a.m. the next morning. It was,
Oh shit.
we just kept going. We just kept going.
What keeps you so addicted to this vertical stuff?
I would say that I have a dream to have a career like Bradley Cooper, John Krasinski, Stallone, or Eastwood, where I really like the premise of acting, writing, directing, producing. Do I have to do all of them? No. Am I a control freak? No. But I love storytelling. Like, I have all these ideas for stories. And storytelling for me doesn't have to be limited to cinema. Like, I like game design. Like, I'd love to make a board game. I like writing in prose. I enjoy, as we know, playing on my piano and putting music on Instagram. But when it comes to cinema, in the last year, it has become clear to me that verticals seem like a really good opportunity to cut my teeth, not only as an actor, but if I can just get my ass to finish an outline, like I can take the outline and get a script. I can sell the script and package myself as an actor. And I've seen other actors do this. Very exciting to see them do this. And so I would love to push myself to be in a position where people see that, oh, he doesn't just want to act. He wants to contribute creatively. He wants to contribute to the overall story. And so at some point, it would be nice to establish that kind of reputation in the industry so I can eventually leverage that into different mediums. So now it's not just I'm writing and acting or writing, acting, producing, and verts, but eventually I can take, such as the short that I did with my friends in December, which again I'll send you a link for,
Yeah, please.
I can leverage that experience onto feature films. Maybe I can leverage that onto a TV pilot. So yeah, I guess if we want to use the word addiction, what keeps me coming back for more is kind of chasing this carrot that it really is a path to somewhere else. I think people look at the vertical space and they see it as a corner or a dead end. And I just don't think that's true. I don't. But it's all a frame of reference or perspective. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm very excited how it will go on in the future because I think
Yeah.
it's still at the beginning. So
Oh,
we
yeah.
will see. Gabe, we are nearly finished. We are talking more
Okay.
than an hour already.
Wow.
At the end, I will ask everyone a five question quickie.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I think too
It's
much, so I
not,
will
no,
try.
it's not, it's not. I'm not crossing your
I said
boundaries.
I can.
I'm
I said I
not
can turn
crossing
off
your
my
boundaries.
sleep. I said I can turn off my sleep, but sometimes I can't always turn off my brain. Okay, go. Shoot, 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 shoot. Let me hear.
No. First, I want to know what's your favorite dish? I judge people by
Like,
eating.
who to eat?
What's your favorite
I love
meal?
ceviche. Ceviche. I freaking love ceviche.
Ceviche? How
Yes.
do you
Have you
get
had
to
it before?
ceviche? Yeah.
It's just the most refreshing thing in the world. It's I don't know. Anytime I go to a restaurant that has some kind of Central American, South American bent, I will get it. It's just it has to. I have to get it. It's so good. Yeah.
That's
I love
nice.
ceviche. Yeah.
Ceviche. Yeah, that's
Big on
good.
cilantro. Big on cilantro.
Okay, but if you ever have been in Italy, I think that would change. Some really
You're
great
probably right. When I
homemade Italian pasta.
went home to
That's
see my dad, we made homemade eggplant parm, and that was awesome. It was so good. He got the meat slicer and just sliced the eggplant. It was sick. It was so good.
Oh, that's nice. That's really
Yeah.
nice. What's your favorite film at the moment?
At the moment, Oppenheimer, I would say, is my most recent, just
Really?
like 5 times in theaters. It just knocked my socks off. I saw it in 70 millimeter. I saw it in IMAX digital. I saw it in Dolby. I saw it in Fanny
Holy.
Laser. I just love that movie. It really impacted me. Yeah.
And what's your favorite song? What kind of music do you listen?
Music. Oh my goodness. It was funny. The first thing that pops into my head is like Motown, Earth, Wind & Fire, September, or like Jackson 5. That's very like
Oh,
upbeat, keeps
Jackson
me like
5 is so
just
cool.
right. Yeah, just
Baby,
wakes your ass
say
up. Yeah, it's oh my God. Yeah, it's a good pick me up. That I will happily
it's
answer. I
kind
listen
of.
to different stuff, but
It's kind of. I spoke with Hunter Cole this week,
okay.
and we spoke about the favorite music, and he said that he loved some European music,
Ooh.
and European music pops always ABBA in my head. You know ABBA, the Swedish pop band, the Dancing Queens. Every song of ABBA puts me in a good mood.
Yeah.
That's so
So good
cool.
music. It's so necessary. So
Classic
necessary.
music, you know?
Yeah.
But the great ones, the totally great ones. Yeah, we need that. So if anyone asks you, Gabe, I want to watch Verticals from now on. Which one of yours should I watch? What would you tell?
I think I'll give you three off the noggin. One, I think, is one of my more popular ones, supposedly, based off metrics. Hear My Love Again. Hear My Love Again is just a very sweet drama about a woman who previously lost her hearing, regained it, and I'm a politician trying to working through this like political marriage. So that I think that one performed pretty well.
Yeah,
I really
that's
enjoyed.
Also pretty good.
I really enjoyed After All This Time with Kylie Nicole Pearson. I play an actor who is working through a broken relationship with his high school sweetheart slash agent and his current co-star who's like out to get him. But After All This Time,
I'm
I just
not
enjoyed making
sure
that
if
one.
I saw it.
It's a little one. It was only probably 60 pages, so it's not more than an hour.
Do you know which platform it was released?
I think it was on Love Shot. Was it on Love? No, it wasn't Love Shot. I forget, but it was definitely called After All This Time. You'll find
Okay,
it on IMDb. But it was just, I don't know. It was nice to do something different than the CEO, Alpha,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
It was just a movie star kind of entertainment thing. And then the last one, I really had a lot of fun making the Hidden Land to my CEO's heart. It was just a silly, stupid comedy, lots of like goofy jokes. And I love Brendan Fraser in George of the Jungle. And I felt like that's what they were going for. And I thought it was just so much fun. I
Hopefully
really
there
enjoyed
are more like that with more comedy in it.
That's what we need, is more silly
Absolutely.
jokes. It's so much fun.
So last question, what genre you wanna have more in Verticals? Or maybe new genre?
I definitely want more comedy. Comedy is hard. I'll give you two genres, maybe three. Comedies, we just need more in general. I think
Yes.
they're going to be hard because people are not paying attention to the writing as much as a comedy demands. And honestly, comedy is like a special skill set that I think the majority of actors in the vertical space will struggle with. Because I think it's really easy to give like a sexy smolder face and like kiss somebody and like model. But jokes really require finesse and rehearsal. And in some
I
ways, it's
can
not even
tell
the
you
actor's
one
fault.
actor who's totally fit for comedy, Adam
Who,
Chisnall.
who?
Adam Chisnall.
Have I worked with Adam? I
He's
mean, I believe that.
so, and it was so funny recording with him, and he put so many
Amazing.
really funny reels on his Instagram profile. If you have a bad day,
Good.
go to his Instagram profile and
Okay.
you are totally laughing. He put yesterday a reel where he is a bride and he's like the $1 million show, the sound. It says, after you're married, you catch your husband cheating. What would you do? And then I have to send you a link. It's so typical, ridiculous vertical, but in
Yeah.
such a funny way. He would have been totally good in comedy once. Absolutely.
And that's the thing. Once the platforms embrace that people want comedy, and they just basically, if they gave people outlines that they could get improv actors and comedy actors to work on, it would blow up a whole new genre. And it would be probably even cheaper to make because you could spend less on the writing. So comedies for sure. I personally want to see a little bit more of thriller and horror. I think some people just don't like that genre. That's totally fair.
I
I grew up
cannot
not
watch
liking
horror
it.
stuff.
I get it. I grew up not being interested, didn't want to watch it. But the older I get, specifically for verts, you have to remember, watch retention currently is exposition, like revelation of information, or it's action, or it's sexual tension.
Yeah.
But we don't have jump scares. And jump scares could be a very reliable way to keep eyes on. And Like horror films are just like, they don't have to be horror, but they could be more suspenseful. Verticals could be much more suspenseful.
Yeah, that's
And so
true.
I'm working, the one I'm outlining right now is like a medical romance thriller. And so I'm hoping to just introduce a little bit more of that suspense in there. And then the last one would be, I'd like to see more period stuff. I really want more period. I love the costumes. Like, give me some like Westerns with like the cool ass skirts and
Western,
the old ass.
totally. Hopefully.
Right? Oh,
I'm totally open for Western, but the old Western with the saloon stuff and the
yes.
saloon ladies and the sheriff one
Yes.
and the duels and horses and lasso for, oh yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I would love to do that. And you know what? That's what I was saying earlier. Spaghetti Westerns, if they're being made cheap, we can make them in Italy and bing,
I
bang, boom.
spoke with
That'd be so
Roberta
fun.
Sparta about Western.
Yeah, what'd she
She
say?
told me, I asked her if it would be complicated, more complicated than doing Western than doing the normal stuff. And she said to me, no, it won't be a problem.
Interesting.
So it's all about the money, as usual.
Yes, and the
We need someone
platforms.
who
They are so
takes the
risk
risk
averse.
to Roberta would produce it.
Yeah.
John Henry Richardson would also be in it in Western because he said also he wants to do some great Western.
Sick.
Do you know Thomas King, the actor from Atlanta?
No, I'm gonna write this
He
down.
looks like a
Tony.
cowboy, really. When I spoke with him, he had a mustache and he was more the yeehaw type, you know?
That's
And
very
he could
cute.
ride horses.
Great.
So the cast would not
It
be a
can be done.
problem. And
It can be
Roberta
done.
said producing it would also not be a problem. So it's all about the money.
Yeah.
Where do we get the
Interesting.
money? If you're playing your next billionaire CEO, could you transfer some money?
Yeah,
As long as
exactly.
you are a billionaire, could you transfer some money?
Yes.
That would be great.
So, yeah.
We will
So,
see.
yeah,
There's
exactly.
still
That's
hope.
what it
There's
is.
still hope.
Well, there's just so much room for growth. The space, like you said, it's just beginning. That's what's going
I'm
on. It's
sure
just
about
beginning.
that. Totally sure about that. So, Gabe, thank you very much for your time. It was a
Total
pleasure having
pleasure.
you. Oh, my
Yeah.
dog is awake. Bye, dog.
Good morning.
No, he goes to his bed now.
Very
Yeah,
cute.
he's young. He's 7 months old, you know. Yeah, the younger
Oh,
one is only 7 months.
adorable.
No, not adorable. Chaotic. Really chaotic.
Oh,
And
really?
puberty. So, not so easy. So, Gabe,
Okay.
hopefully, I will see a lot of your work again. And you
I'll keep
know,
it coming.
I'm a bit open, honest reviewer for that.
I love that. We love the open. Yeah, always tell me what you don't like. Tell me what you do like so we can keep it coming.
Yeah, I'm doing with the six big review ladies.
Cool.
Every month, a monthly recap episode for the podcast where we speak about
Great.
the episodes who got published in this month and
Yeah.
what we did like and what we like.
Who is that?
That's Dion.
Dion.
Yeah. The
Goodness.
7 month old. Dion, I'm working here. You cannot disturb me now.
It's
You want
okay,
to
Dion.
say hi or
I'm
what?
a visitor.
Oh, here. Here, come here.
You're so cute.
A baby.
What a
Yep.
beautiful
So
pup.
we are doing always open reviews. Are you reading reviews?
I only catch the reviews that are on Instagram. So when people drop a review on there that I'm tagged in, then I'll give it a read. But I'm not like actively IMDBing
Searching
or
for it.
Googling.
Yeah,
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we will see. Hopefully, a lot of new work and you come to Europe, hopefully.
It'll happen. Definitely gonna happen.
When you are in Europe, let me know.
Sounds like a plan. That sounds good.
Thank you very much. I wish you a nice day. It's
You too.
how late is it? Yeah, you're half
Thirty
of the
almost.
day now.
See what
So,
else can get done. Yeah.
yeah. Have a nice day, and thank you for your time. And we'll stay in contact.
That sounds awesome.
Mikaela, bye, Gabe.
Thanks for having me. Bye.
This is a wrap on this episode, and I hope you tune in again.